speak to our hearts. Grant us grace to pray this morning. And in the name of Jesus, may we go from strength to strength. Be glorified. For in Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Good morning, everybody. Can you turn to your neighbor left and right and tell them good morning? It's good to see you. Hallelujah. You may be gloriously seated. You may be gloriously seated. Thank you very much. Your Lordship, thank you so much to you and your dear wife. Thank you for the honor again, and to all of the bishops and all of the pastors and all who are deserving of honor, I honor you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Whenever God grants me the grace to come here, I'd like to use the morning sessions as a prayer meeting. It's important that in conferences like this, we have moments that are dedicated to prayer. Hallelujah. And so I will be giving a little charge just to guide our spirits, and then will give us an opportunity to pray. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. It's never been prayer or the word. It's prayer and the word. You always find them together. The Bible does not give a dichotomy to select whether to be prayerful or to be a student of scripture. It is always prayer and the word. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 is the apostolic model that was left for us from the early church. The Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking of bread and in fellowship and in prayer. Doctrine and prayer. Hallelujah. When Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says he was driven of the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Before then, he spent a major part of his teenage years at the temple learning. And when Satan came to tempt him, after praying for 40 days and 40 nights, when Satan came to him, he did not say, I have prayed. He said, it is written. And yet it was prayer that took him there. So you never separate the ministry of prayer and the word. That approach to spiritual growth is not accurate. There's no such thing as being a prayerful person at the expense of a student of scripture, or being a student of scripture at the expense of prayer. Now, it is true that there are people who are uniquely given the grace for prophetic intercession. There are others who are given the grace for teachers and teaching, for an example. But the Bible mandates all believers, praying and study of the word is like going to the table and you have both water and food. The question is, which of them is more important? You see that now? So when you have food and no water, you will choke eventually. If you have water and no food, it may not satisfy you enough. So it's when they go together, you eat and then water. Another example is like driving a car that has an accelerator but no brake. Which of them is more important? If you have a healthy brake and no accelerator, you are safe but you are going nowhere. If you have an accelerator and you have no brake, you will run yourself, and then when there's need to halt, you cannot halt. So I'm saying this so that when we talk about the ministry of prayer, immediately in our minds, and especially in the body of Christ, groups are divided into two immediately. A group says, we are prayer people. That's right. This is our language. Others say, well, we're not really into that prayer, but we're into the word. It's poor mentorship. It has always been prayer and the word. Prayer and the word. Someone say, I will pray. Prayer and the word. Hallelujah. And in light of all that we're discussing, the Lord just quickened it in my heart this morning while I was having my own time of prayer, just to help us see the value of prayer this morning and how it connects to the believer's dominion. And it's not going to be an elaborate discussion. We're discussing, my case is different. And it's important for us to know that there are forces that help the believer to redefine his possibilities in the kingdom. And one of those forces is the force of prayer. To the believer who understands the dynamics of prayer and how to pray effectively, such a one can never be a victim. The Bible is very clear as to the power that the prayer ministry, if done properly, can afford and bring to the life of a believer. So let's consider a few scriptures very quickly. First and foremost, the concept of prayer is not new to any faith practice and any religion whatsoever. It is in this one aspect that almost all religions agree that there has to be some system of connection and connecting with the divine or with God Almighty as we believe in the Christian faith. And so prayer is at the core of the Christian faith. What is prayer? In simple terms, prayer has to do with communication. It has to do with communion. And like I said, I've done many teachings around prayer. Hopefully I'll recommend a few of them, but it's to charge our hearts this morning because it's a prayer meeting. So as much as we touch one or two areas, I hope that we'll have some time to be able to invest in prayer. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, the Bible says, "He spake a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul was speaking to the church in Thessalonica and he taught them, he says, to pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. To pray without ceasing. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. The Bible mandates all believers to continue in prayer and to watch in the same with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, Luke 11 verse 1, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Teach us to pray." They desire to pray. They watch Jesus pray. Mark chapter 1, when you read from verse 35, the Bible says Jesus woke up very early in the morning and he departed to a solitary place and there he prayed. Even Jesus as the Son of God, Jesus as the Word incarnate, he prayed. Hallelujah. Prayer has to do with communication with God. It's a way, I wrote here, of communicating our thoughts, our needs, our desires, and it's also a way of communion and fellowship. So when we talk about prayer, it is the authorized platform that God has provided for the believer, affording you the opportunity to communicate your thoughts, to communicate your needs, to communicate your desires. For an example, the Bible says in Mark 11, 24, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, using the vehicle of prayer, it says, believe that thou receivest them and thou shalt have them." Matthew 7 and verse 7, Jesus is speaking. He said, "Ask and you shall receive." He says, "Knock and seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." And then verse 8, he says, "For everyone." So he's talking about a matter that concerns everyone. Everyone that asketh receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it shall be opened unto him. In the name of Jesus, as you knock in prayer, let it be opened unto you. Amen. You believe that? Shout aloud, believing amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel stirred to read out, even though I promise not to do an elaborate teaching, but there are 8 major things that prayer achieves in the life of a believer. Can I run the list for you? Praise God. There are 8 major things that prayer achieves in the life of a believer or within a territory. Prayer, potent prayer, has an effect. It produces results. Number 1, prayer creates the platform for communion and fellowship with God, thereby deepening our relationship with God. Prayer provides a platform for communion and fellowship with God, thereby deepening our fellowship with God. Hallelujah. It's important for us to know that this right here is a major part of why we pray. I've done a teaching series, Let Us Pray. If you care, it's a three-part series. It's quite an extensive teaching on the ministry of prayer. It's called Let Us Pray, part 1-3. If you are able to lay your hands upon it, I believe it will be most edifying. But a major part of the prayer ministry was meant to be a plan of fellowship. Now, unfortunately, a major part of the body of Christ has seen prayer only as a platform that allows for petitions and needs. And while that is important, a major part of your prayer ministry, listen please, if your prayer life is entirely need driven, you will be in trouble when blessings begin to manifest in your life, because you will not have a reason to pray again. Prayer is little about give me, it's more about transform me. Luke chapter 9 verse 28-29, the Bible says, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, his raiment became white and glistening. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, is the word koinonia, the sharing together, the participation of the Spirit, he says, to be with you. God desires fellowship with man. God desires communion with man. Hallelujah. And prayer provides that platform for communion, thereby deepening our relationship with God. Now, you can fake power, but you cannot fake a functional relationship. I'm deep in love with you, Abba Father. I'm deep in love with you, Lord. That's the language of communion. I'm deep in love with you, precious Jesus. I'm deep in love with you, Lord. When you look at a husband and a wife, you can know whether they love themselves or whether they are fighting. Fellowship has an energy. It has a presence. Even if they are lying in public, you know they are not telling the truth. You can call the wife sweetheart in public, and there's an energy that comes from that falsehood. You know they are just pretending. This thing, something is wrong. Or God has a problem, or this marriage is just patch and move. This is not. But you can see a couple, even if they are not talking, the energy of love, you know they are invested in themselves. Hallelujah. Intimacy is measurable. Even though it's a spiritual reality, it is measurable. The investment of time leads to intimacy. And let me tell you this, God's goal is not just to always speak to you. God's goal is to grow you so that there is a heart-to-heart connection. How many of you know that when you see a husband and a wife whose marriage is really working, there are times they can speak, they can talk without having to speak to themselves? The woman just understands that the man means go to the kitchen and bring something for the visitor. You are watching them, and yet words are flying over you and nothing is coming out from their mouth. You get to a point where you can know the heartbeat of God. You can perceive spiritual things. God does not always have to speak to your ears. He can drive you because you have come to a point where you are so invested in Him. You can know that this is what God wants to do for the hour. Is somebody learning? Prayer provides that platform. Number two, very quickly. Prayer provides the platform for the believer to encounter the transforming and the refining power. The transforming and the refining power of God. This is a major assignment of prayer. It provides a platform for the believer to encounter the refining and the transforming power of God. If you are truly given to the ministry of prayer, it refines you. It transforms you. It moves you into a more superior version of yourself. Let me give you number three. I can't promise giving you all eight, but let's see where we'll stop. Number three, prayer builds your capacity to trust God. Prayer builds your capacity to trust God. It builds your capacity to trust God. It builds conviction. When you find a man who is always doubting God, always being overly scientific, that man is not given to prayer. There is something that happens to you to, in the place of prayer. It enlarges your capacity to believe God. It says, but ye all, building yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you find people who are invested in prayer, they seldom doubt God. God quickens his ability in your spirit man, that even though you've not seen the reality, you know God can do it. Is somebody learning now? When you find people who are full of faith, I am telling you, they have stayed with the word, but they have a rich prayer investment. Let me tell you a secret. Every time mountains stand before you and it looks like your faith, your confidence is being threatened, forget about the mountain and go and build your faith in the place of the word and also in prayer. Don't just study the Bible alone. Prayer is like the digestive system of the spirit. Are we together now? You can swallow, you can eat food, but if your digestive system is faulty, even though the food is nutritious, it will not break down the food and then send the blessings to your body. Somebody learning now. It is not just the quality of the food you eat that determines your health. It is the quality of your organs, particularly your digestive system. Then it breaks it down in a way that it can absorb it. That's what prayer does. So when you take the word of God, all of the scriptures, and you dump it, there are people who have all kinds of digestive problems, constipation, all of that. The problem is not the food. It's that for what some reason, something went wrong with their digestive system. And there are many believers like that. They have a lot of scriptures and they can quote it mechanically, but the life from it is not seen. Because prayer is what breaks it down and it absorbs into your spirit. So when you speak, you are not pretending. This thing has become part of you. Your capacity to believe God. Can I give you number four? Are we learning already? Giving us a reason to prayer. Prayer is the authorized channel to involve God and call for divine assistance concerning every area of your life. Prayer is the authorized channel to involve God and to call for divine assistance concerning any and all areas of your life. Prayer is the authorized channel to involve God and to call for divine assistance in every area of your life. Philippians, I believe, chapter 4, when you read 6 and 7, it's a very profound scripture. Please give it to us. It says, be careful. NKJV corrects it. The word careful there is anxiety. Be anxious for nothing, it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request, that means that is the official way of tabling your petitions before God, by prayer, not by complaining, not by grumbling, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions, your request be made known to God. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God will garrison your heart and your mind. Say, I will pray. Let me tell you this. Prayerlessness is pride. The highest demonstration of pride is not boasting, is prayerlessness, because it's a declaration that you do not need the assistance of God over your life. And the Bible says, vain is the help of man. Is someone learning? So the refusal to be invested into the prayer ministry, it's a declaration of self-sufficiency. And in this kingdom, there are no self-sufficient people. It is of his fullness we receive. It is in him we live, we move, we have our being. Is someone learning now? Let me give you one more to make it five. And then we'll talk about one or two other things. And then we'll pray. I'm wondering which one to give you now and which one to omit. Number five. Prayer helps the believer to access the voice of God concerning every matter of your life. Prayer gives the believer an opportunity to access the voice of God. You need to know what God is saying concerning the matters of your life, and it's in the place of prayer. The Bible says, as they prayed and as they worshiped, the Holy Ghost spoke to them. and said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas." You will hear his voice in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. It grants you access to the voice of God concerning every and any matter. It's important that you function in the will of God. When it has to do with the business of power, authority, dominion, and progress, the will of God is the most important factor. It is a dangerous thing for any believer to be outside of the will of God for your life. And if you care, let me digress for one moment and show you the three ways from scripture that we discern the will of God. Number one, the first way we discern the will of God for our lives is by studying his will as written in scripture. The Bible is a compendium of God's will for man. When we study the Bible, we can know his will for us. For an example, the Bible is clear as to the fact that God desires that all men be saved and that they come unto the knowledge of the truth. Number two, the second way we discern the will of God is through the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit. The revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit. There is a dimension of the operation of the Holy Ghost that quickens the knowledge of the will of God. The Bible tells us that the Spirit sustains the ability to search the mind of the Father and to reveal to the saints what is the will of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus said, "I have many things to tell you, but ye cannot bear them now." He says, "How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will take that is which is of the Father. He will reveal, he will show you things to come." And then number three, the prophetic. The prophetic is one of the ways that we can deduce or extract the will of God concerning any and all matters. But generally, in the place of prayer, you open up your spirit to hear the voice of God. And the voice of God here does not just mean the speakings of God. I've done a teaching on the voice of God. Again, if you care, the voice of God represents every scriptural mechanism that is used to extract the knowledge of the will of God. So when we talk about the voice of God, we're not limiting it to the sound of his voice. Are we together? Yes. The voice of God is a generic expression that captures every scriptural mechanism for discerning the will of God. Say, "I will pray." Hallelujah. But let me give you one more. I have eight here, but number seven has caught my attention. The intercessory dimension of prayer allows for divine intervention in your life, in the life of others, and within your territory. The intercessory dimension of prayer, I'm showing you the profit of prayer in the life of a believer. And I'm saying the intercessory dimension of prayer allows God to intervene in your life, in the life of others, and then over your territory. It is important. Territorial transformation is nearly impossible without a rich prayer, prophetic intercessory ministry. It's going to be difficult for you to establish the program of God within a territory, a beautiful state like Taraba, regardless the skills, the professionals you have. The business of the spirit must be done first before every other thing finds relevance. Are we learning now? Praise God. So very quickly for this morning, I'll pick it from there because I want us to focus on that intercessory dimension. Prayer provides us an opportunity to engage with the realm of the spirit, not only to allow for petitions, but to also ward off the demonic forces that try to fight and try to sabotage our liberty in Christ. Please listen, everybody. The Bible is very clear as to the fact that Satan is on an intentional assignment to destroy everything God in your life. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be sober." It says, "Be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil." Satan is not your ally. Satan is not an advisor. He's not a friend. The Bible calls him an adversary. He says, like a roaring lion, he moves to and fro, seeking for whom he may devour. Are we learning now? In John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible calls him a thief. A thief. The thief does not come except for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Every time you see Satan around a life, around a state, around a ministry, around a business, around your health, you can be sure that this threefold ministry is what he's seeking to do. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I am come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Are we learning now? In Matthew chapter 13, I believe from verse 26 to 28, the parable of the wheat and tares. I'm giving us a reason to pray. I want us to engage in a little of warfare and intercession this morning. So the Bible talks about the parable of the wheat and the tares. It says, but when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. Verse 27. The servants came to the owner and said, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? Verse 28. Jesus in that parable replying said, an enemy has done this. Did you not eat well before you went to bed? Where is this high blood pressure coming from? Suddenly, the enemy has done this. Did you not raise godly children and dedicate them in church? What is this that your teenage children are going on rampage? The enemy. Once it does not look like God, the enemy has done that. Is somebody learning? Once it does not capture the glory of God, an enemy has done this. Did you not sow into the lives of faithful people as a pastor, mentoring them sincerely? Where is this rebellion and this trouble in ministry coming from? The enemy has done that. It is not only God and you who are farmers. Satan is also a farmer and he has seeds. The Bible says, while men slept, he came and sowed and went his way. But in the name of Jesus, every tree that has not been planted by our Father, this morning in the place of prayer, we will uproot it. You believe that? Shout amen. He says, every tree that has not been planted by my Father, let it be uprooted. Did he not call you his battle axe and his weapon of war? And the Bible says when the axe head is blunt, you will have to take a lot of time to cut down the tree. So what I'm doing right now is sharpening the axe head so that as we begin to engage in the spirit, you will pray circumspectly and not pray amiss. Is somebody learning now? Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus, one more example that I'll give you to illustrate the power of prayer. Luke chapter 10, when we read verse 30, this is a parable of the Good Samaritan. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? The Bible says something very interesting there. It says, Jesus answered and said, a certain man, Jesus is speaking now, went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and unfortunately, he fell among thieves. And Satan is called a thief. Every other thief came from him. You are of your father, the devil. The Bible says he was on his way, sojourning through destiny, and he fell among thieves. What did they do? They stripped him of his clothing. They wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. They stripped him. Stripped him. Satan can strip a state. He can strip a church. He can strip a family. Is somebody learning now? Very powerful. He came to Jesus to tempt him. And Jesus rebuked him, and the Bible says he left him for a season. The next time he will come, he did not come to Jesus directly. He came through Peter and spoke. A very nice statement. Trying to prohibit Jesus from dying. And Jesus said, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. He rebuked him, and you know, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. I have prayed for you. Next time he would come, he came through Judas and took advantage of his greed and lost. Are you seeing that now? There are many ways Satan comes. If he comes directly and you overcome him, he can come through your child, come through your business. The most important thing is to get into your life. But in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that that enemy, that thief, that adversary, in the place of The morale for flogging and driving them was that he said, have I not said that my father's house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of robbers. And if it is true that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, then it must either be a house of prayer or a den of robbers. It's up to you to choose one. You are either a house of prayer, or Satan can come and transact all kinds of things in your life. This temple will remain a house of prayer so that it does not become a den of robbers. So that he will not come and steal your organs. So that he will not come and steal your peace. Is someone learning now? Praise the name of the Lord. It's important for believers to know how to engage. Now, according to scripture, let me say this and then we'll begin to pray. There are four major five major kinds of prayer. There might be more, but in the study of scripture, there are about five major prayer models that the believer can engage for his victory. Let me run the list very quickly, because we're going to be walking around these prayer models. Number one, praying in the spirit or praying in tongues. Praying in the spirit. First off, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, it talks about praying with all kinds or all manner of prayer. Give it to us, please. It says praying always with all prayer. One version will say all kinds of prayer. There are various kinds of prayer. The first is praying in the spirit, using the prayer language to intercede, using the prayer language to engage. The Bible is clear as to the fact that when we pray, 1 Corinthians 14, 15. Give us amplified if we have it. 1 Corinthians 14, 15. It says, then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, by the spirit that is within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and with my understanding. Hallelujah. I will pray the spirit. I will pray with understanding. The Bible says we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to, but that the Holy Spirit can pray, producing groanings in us that may be inaudible, but that he is praying the perfect will of God through us. So as you engage in the spirit, as you pray in tongues, it is one of those prayer models. Number two is called faith-filled declarations of scripture. This is a prayer model. Faith-filled declarations of scripture. It's another prayer model that the Bible provides for every believer. Psalm 102, verse 2 and 3. Psalm 107, 107, 2 and 3. Psalm 107, 2 and 3. Please give it to us. 107, 2 and 3. Let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Whom he had delivered from the hands of the adversary. Verse 3. And had gathered them out of the lands, from the east, the west, the north, and the sea in the south. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Faith-filled declarations. Faith-filled declarations. Faith-filled declarations. In the name of Jesus, I'm the head and not the tail. You are praying. It's a prayer model. In the name of Jesus, doors open for me by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, this is the day the Lord has made. Faith-filled declarations. You are making declarations of faith. Comes from the word homologio. It means to declare, as you have said. This is the kind of declaration that was used in Ezekiel chapter 37. He said, son of man, can these bones live again? He said, only thou knowest. He told him what to say, but the bones did not respond when God was speaking. The bones responded when a man took the word of God and re-echoed it to the bones. So I prophesied as I was commanded. He said there was a noise. Don't just say God has said it. You must say it too. It's the spirit and the bride that says come. If God says you are healed, you must also say I am healed. If God says you are lifted, you must also say you are lifted. Is somebody learning now? If God says you are the head, you must agree and say, I am the head. In the name of Jesus, as I go out today, my day is blessed. Favor follows me everywhere. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I am Beulah. I am Hephzibah. The book of remembrance is open. You are praying now. Faith-filled declarations. Every believer is also a creator. When you put the words of God on the lips of faith and declare it, you are praying. Now, let me tell you this. It is not every aspect of prayer that involves talking to God. There are aspects of prayer that involve sending words to create possibilities. There are aspects of prayer that involve talking to demonic spirits. Are we together? To put them at bay. Is someone learning? Faith-filled declarations. Number three, the third prayer model according to scripture is called the prayer of inquiry. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 8. The prayer of inquiry. This one happens when you are at a loss as to what the will of God is concerning a matter. How many of you know that your confidence in prayer is that you know, in fact, the foundation of faith is a revelation of the will of God concerning any matter. It is difficult to release your faith when you are unsure what the will of God is. At such times, you pray the prayer of inquiry. 1 Samuel chapter 30, give us verse 8. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop, and shall I overtake them? And he answered. God answers the one who inquires. Are we together? Should I remain in Taraba or should I go outside of Taraba? Don't assume. Assumption is costly in the spirit, because there is a way that cement right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The prayer of inquiry. And he said, pursue, you shall surely pursue, overtake, and without fail recover. When you are praying, knowing that this is the will of God, you pray confidently. The prayer of inquiry. Number four. The fourth prayer model that we have from scripture is called warfare and intercessory prayers. And this is where our center for prayer this morning will be zooming down on this. Warfare and intercessory prayer, where you use the power of prayer to turn things around. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19. I love this scripture. It says, but I know that this shall turn for my salvation. How? Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. I know that this situation will not defeat me, because once I bring prayer into the equation, things will change. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Please give it to us. The Bible says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. He would have died like James, but because prayer happened, the Bible says the angel that saved Peter were still there when James died. Did you hear what I said? The angels that came to rescue Peter were not suddenly created after James died. They were always there. They don't respond to emotions. They respond to the word of God. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. Warfare and intercession is important for liberating territories and families. Here's what the Bible says. So I sought for a man among them who would make up the wall or the hedge and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. This morning, God has an army that will pray and say, Father, your will must be enforced in Taraba, that the men and women who must arise, their time has come, that the doors that must be opened over families, they must be opened. Let me tell you this. The fact that God wants it done does not mean it will be done. No, sir. Read your Bible. There are many things that God desired to happen but never happened, because the believers who will agree with him in prayer were not there. You see, I sought for a man. I've already proposed my desire, but if there is no man to stand and agree with me. Are we learning? Let me give you the last prayer model. and then that will be enough talking about prayer. We'll stand up and pray. The last prayer model is called the prayer of thanksgiving. This is a very profound display of faith, the prayer of thanksgiving. So you use gratitude and thank God in advance over things that have not yet manifested, but you know as touching his integrity that it will come to pass. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Please give it to us. The Bible says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Philippians 4, 6, we read that earlier on. It says to be anxious for nothing. It says, but in everything, every matter, by prayer and supplication. And that when you are done, make sure it is with thanksgiving. Let your request be known. Let me tell you how that prayer model works. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus because I know I am blessed. I thank you because I know this situation turns around. You are already giving thanks. This is prayer. Listen, most believers do not have a rich prayer life because they have not been trained to explore these prayer models. Are we together? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes you can be in a place for 1 hour and all you are saying is, thank you, Father, for my wife. Thank you, Father, for my children. I bless you for my job. There are all kinds of challenges, but I thank you. And someone thinks you are just talking. No, you are praying. It's an act of faith. You are giving thanks because you already know that his thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you a future and an expected end. And knowing that he's a God of integrity, you give thanks in advance. Every time you thank God, you put, for want of word, pressure on his integrity to make good what he has said. Even as a man, there are times way before you communicate the benevolence, just for saying you want to do it, there is a way the recipient thanks you. You won't forget to do it. Your reputation has been implicated by that thanksgiving. Are we together? Just to thank you, sir. I never imagined that you were going to pay a house rent for us, but the fact that you made that statement, I can't thank you enough. Then they thank you in the evening. Do you know thank you can become a reminder? This is me still coming with thanksgiving. And you just say, oh dear, I remember God himself. That when you know how to thank him, you know how to thank him. One thing with thanksgiving is that it brings wholeness to things. Every time you engage thanksgiving, it brings wholeness and completion. 10 lepers, the Bible says they came and Jesus told them, get up, go and show yourself to the priest. As they went, they discovered they were cleansed. And the Bible says Jesus was passing, yet he was still there standing. One returned back and came to give thanks. Jesus would have said, okay, that's fine. He said, were there not 9 of you? In other words, there's a dimension of this healing some of them did not receive because they did not come back to say thank you. Can someone already say thank you, Jesus? Thank you. Thank you. We used to sing a song many years ago. Whenever I see another breaking of day, I say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whenever I see another breaking of day, I say thank you, Lord. So when we get up to pray, allow me guide you. For someone, you'll be learning how to pray well. You know, believers, sometimes the fact that you are dissipating energy does not mean you are praying. It's the same way students write exams, and while they are sweating, someone will still sweat and still get 0. It doesn't mean that the lecturer is wicked. It's that you failed. Are we together? There is such a thing as praying amiss. It's in your Bible that a man can pray. It's like you are on gear 4, but you are going this way, whereas that's where your house is. But you can pray with a level of precision that brings you great gain. You see the value of prayer. When you are saying in Jesus' name, you know in your heart that you make serious investment. The Bible says this is the confidence that we have, that when we ask anything, not just according to our desires, according to his will, he heareth us. We know. So the focus of our prayer this morning will be first for our lives, including our families and all that concerns us. Then we'll be taking a few minutes to intercede over the soul of Taraba. How many of you love this city? The Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You must love your Jerusalem. You cannot prosper in a place that you hate. Many people hate certain cities and yet they want to prosper there. No, there is bread in every city, but it is only delivered to those who truly love the city. Are we together? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He said, they shall prosper that love you. They shall prosper. I never go to a place as a burden. I never go to a place hating the people. I can't love God and hate the people. No, the blessings of the land will not come to you. Is someone learning now? This is a very serious mystery. So we are going to pray. And I believe in the name of Jesus Christ that as we take the time to pray, the God of heaven will move mightily over our lives. Does someone believe this? Don't doubt God as you pray. Let your eyes be on Jesus as you pray, knowing that he's able to turn things around. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Lord, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, my God is greater. My God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. When we pray, God moves. When we pray, God reveals his outstretched arm. When we pray, we engage his mercy. When we pray, we release the ministry of angels. Are we together? Can I tell you 5 ways God answers prayers? Are you interested in learning? Number one, the first way God answers prayer is by supernatural manifestations, healings, deliverances, a manifestation of the supernatural. That's the first way he answers prayers. Number two, the second way he answers prayer, I think I taught it one time here when I came. The second way God answers prayer is to cause the person praying to grow. There are many things we are asking for that cannot come to this version of us. So when you take the time to pray, God desires to answer, but the version asking for that request cannot receive it. It will not be the answer to that prayer. Will not be a blessing to the person who is asking. So God will forget about the prayer request and cause you to grow to a state where that answer becomes a blessing. Are we together? The fact that you are praying the will of God, the fact that you are praying sincerely, does not mean it will be answered arbitrarily. There are times God will suspend the answer and cause you to grow. Then the answer will come. In fact, there are many things you will not need to pray for if you grow. There are many prayer requests that are actually a symptom of lack of growth. If you actually grow, you will find out. Are we together? It's like a child, a baby who is telling the father, I want to eat by myself. That's not supposed to be a request. Just grow. When you grow, a time will come, the mother herself will say, okay, I've made my contribution. Start eating by yourself. There are things we need not ask if we focus on growth. Hallelujah. Say, I receive grace to press for growth. Say it again. Say, I receive grace to press for growth. So number one, God answers prayers by supernatural manifestations. Two, growth. Number three, God answers prayer by releasing the needed graces. He answers prayers by releasing the needed graces. The Bible says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that ye, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, I believe, God is able to make all grace. Favor is a grace. Faith is a grace. Wisdom is a grace. Capacity is a grace. These are graces that come from his presence. The Bible says God is able not under every condition. When we pray, God releases the relevant graces. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. When you read this from Amplified, it is so elaborate, it sounds too good to be true. God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support. Come on. That's what happens when you pray. The release of graces. So when you take the time to pray, you must know how God answers. Sometimes in the place of prayer, an impartation of wisdom, an impartation of favor. You just say in Jesus' name and you walk. No physical results, but much has been deposited. It's when you step out, you will see that your possibilities start changing. Are we together? Remember, I've taught you here that what is on you is what controls what is around you. What is on you? Thou anointest my head with oil, but I see what is on my head by looking at my cup. If my cup is empty, don't blame the cup. Blame the emptiness of your head. Thou anointest my head with oil, my business runs over. You anoint my head with oil, my ministry runs over. If the ministry is dry, don't blame the members. Check what is on your head. Are we learning? So if we are engaging to pray this morning, make sure you are sensitive, because there will be distributions of graces. And for some of you, what you need is an upgrade, because grace and peace can be multiplied. Don't say I carry favor. To what degree? Favor works like money. If you have 1,000 naira, you have money, but can it buy a house? Can it buy an estate? What if it's a house you need to buy? If we say everybody who has money stand up, you will stand up. But your money is worthless relative to your need. So you will need an upgrade. Don't just say, I have the healing anointing. To what degree? Grace and peace be multiplied, 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 multiplied. Is somebody learning? The final key. How does God answer prayers? How many have I given you? Three? I thought I've done four. Hallelujah. Release of graces. I won't give you five. I will give you... Let's do four. Four would be enough. The fourth way, and we'll stop here, as to how God answers prayer, is through the ministry of men. The ministry of men. This is powerful. God answers prayer by sending men as the answers. Every time you are praying, be sensitive to the man coming. Be sensitive. Be sensitive. Be sensitive. Abraham, when you see Melchizedek coming, don't call him every man. Be sensitive. Be sensitive. Saul, when you are praying and you see Samuel coming, it's not any... No, that's your blessing there. Be sensitive. Are we together? Jesus, when you are carrying your cross and you are tired and you see Simon of Cyrene, that's an answer to the burden you are carrying. God will always use men. Men seem to me to be the final arrival point of your answers. That's why it's important that while you pray, you also pray that as God releases these blessings, or as you claim the blessings that have been released by faith, you pray that the men authorized to manifest them, that they arrive on time. Because he says, I, Paul, I desire to come to you as an answer once and again, but Satan hindered us. So it is possible your answer arrived since January, but the man to carry it to you has been hindered by darkness. Do you believe that? If you don't believe that, even though it worked out according to the will of God, go and ask the wine presser and Joseph. Joseph begged the man and said, please, when you leave, go and tell the king I'm innocent. They should get me out of this place. The Bible says when the man got there, he forgot. God worked it out for his purposes, but the man still forgot. It's dangerous when those who can lift you forget that you are there. Mordecai saved the life of King Ahasuerus, and they wrote it, but they did not bless him. Is somebody learning? They wrote it and they did not bless him. And he just sat down there at the gate. Those who did not do that much were in the palace, and the man who saved the life of the king was at the gate. Hosanna, eh. Hosanna, eh. Hosanna, eh. Hosanna, eh. Hosanna, eh. The nations will sing your praise. Hosanna, eh. Creation will shout your praise. Hosanna, eh. Hosanna, eh. Hosanna, eh. Hosanna, eh. Hosanna, eh. Creation will shout your praise. Listen, we are going to stand up to pray now. Please do not forget these four things I told you. Supernatural manifestations, healings, peace, deliverances. Number two, causing you to grow. Number three, the release of graces. The release of graces, a way God answers prayers. Number four, introducing men, strategic men. The Bible calls them helpers. Give us Numbers 1 and verse 5. Numbers 1 and verse 5. Any version, I don't know how many versions you can afford, but if you ask me, I'll tell you to use easy to read version. That's ERV or something. The Bible says, these are the names of the men who shall do what? Stand with you. Not everyone is ordained to stand with you, but in the place of prayer, you can command the person authorized to stand with you. Let me tell you, ministry will suffer until the men ordained to stand with you come. When a man is sent by God, you don't need to discuss anything with them. They know it is a ministry to see that you don't cry. Are we together? Woe betides a man who makes discussions with people who are not sent to you. They will trivialize you. They will waste your time. You will lose your honor. You will demean yourself because there is no anointing on them for you. But when you come into the presence of those sent for you without uttering a word, they know that lifting you is their ministry. They know blessing you is their ministry. Is someone learning now? I sense in my spirit that as we pray, God is going to be relocating people spiritually, honestly, placing you before those who have been mandated to support you. He said, these are the names of the men that will stand with you. Stand as prayer helpers. Stand as financial helpers. Stand as mentors and counselors. Most believers pray, but they have not been trained to know how prayers are answered. So they just say, in Jesus' name, amen. They carry their Bibles and they're on their way going. The Bible says there is such a man who looks to the perfect law of liberty, and like a mirror he forgets. So they don't even know how the answers should come. We keep praying. 1 week becomes 1 month. Answers come and pass us, and we are not trained to discern them. You finish praying and a helper called you, but you did not know how to engage with the man. You finish praying and you left with a burden to pray some more. It should tell you the dimension of that answer is growth. Growth. That's why the prayer does not stop in church. When you carry the burden of that prayer beyond church, God wants you to continue, because in that stretching, there is growth happening to you. Are we together now? You need to know how to respond. Is it all right if we pray? Please, for the next maybe 10, 15 minutes, let me encourage us. Let's dedicate this time and invest in prayer. And let's be serious about it. Please rise up on your feet. Rise up on your feet. Begin to thank God for anything you have heard and learned this morning. Shama bakato sabrakateva lakatosiata. Lift your voice. And those of you who are following online, we're about to pray. Make sure you participate. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Unto him that answers prayer shall all flesh come. He's not just a prayer hearing God. He's a prayer answering God. Prayer answering God. Lift your voice and pray. Every other God is an idol. They cannot see, they cannot hear. You are the one true living God. Yahweh, the one true living God. Every other God is an idol. They cannot see, they cannot hear. You are the one true living God. Yahweh, the one true living God. Every other God is an idol. They cannot see, they cannot hear. You are the one true living God. Yahweh, the one true living God. I'll sing it one more time. Every other God is an idol. They cannot see, they cannot hear. You are the one true living God. Yahweh, the one true living God. You are the one true living God. Yahweh, the one true living God. You are the one true living God. The one true living God. Yahweh, the one true living God. Ye have not because ye ask not. He that told you have asked for nothing in my name. It says, ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. Let me lead you in prayer. Everyone, please shout this as loud and as clear as you are able to. Say, Father. Again, shout it. Say, Father. In the name of Jesus, I decree and I declare that I'm stepping into my season of dominion. My season of dominion in every area of my life. Please open your mouth and begin to pray. I decree. He said, let them have dominion. Therefore, I decree and declare, I step into my season of dominion by the Spirit of the living God. If someone prayed, Shapre kaparakato sapreketa. My season of dominion, by the Spirit of grace, I step into my season of dominion. This is your hour of visitation. In the name of Jesus, I step into my season of dominion, where my case becomes different, perpetually different, perpetually different. Are you praying? Shapa leka parato sapragatesh. Rakata pragata parakato sikata. Perpetually different. I step into a season of dominion. In ministry, dominion. In business, dominion. In politics, dominion. Someone is praying. Shabaka parakata praskata bakata. Embrata kaparakata proskata lakata. Shabashaparata prakata lakabos. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive wisdom. I receive understanding to know what to do to enforce my dominion. I receive wisdom. I receive understanding to know what to do. The Bible says, and of the tribe of Issachar, he said there were men that had an understanding of the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. Jesus himself knew what to do. Is someone praying? We're going to pray that prayer again. The wisdom to know what to do. The wisdom to know what to do. It says, I will give you a mouthpiece and a wisdom that your adversaries will not gainsay nor resist. Again, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive wisdom and understanding to know what to do so as to enforce my dominion. Open your mouth and cry for wisdom. Does any man lack wisdom? Let him ask. Let him ask. Let him ask. Does a businessman lack wisdom? Come on, let him ask. Does a pastor lack wisdom to navigate the tides of ministry? Let him ask. Wisdom for the hour. Wisdom for the hour. Wisdom to excel in business. Wisdom to excel academically. Wisdom to excel in politics. Wisdom to excel in your home. The Bible says, "Doth not wisdom cry?" He said, "By me kings reign and princes decree justice." Cry for wisdom. Cry for understanding. It is the principal thing the Bible says. Wisdom. Wisdom to excel. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Demonic forces are real. Satan is a determined and stubborn spirit who is all about thwarting everything kingdom, everything glory, everything God. But the Bible says, now thanks be to God, which causes us to triumph always. You are about to pray, and I want us to engage by faith. Now look up, please. For perspective, I need to say this. When we talk about warfare for the believer, the idea is not a present day fighting, even though the Bible uses words like battle, like wrestle. The idea is about using the resources, the forces of victory that's been provided, the blood, the name, the word, to enforce and make good in experience. Are we together? Over the enemy, over your life, that which has been finished in Christ. This is the perspective of warfare for the believer. You can approach the subject of warfare already defeated by your understanding. So the idea is not fighting to see if you will win. The idea is using the resources. It's about enforcing, not creating victory. When we engage, we are not creating victory. We are stamping it to make good. It says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled. Not in your life, in heaven. It takes faith and the operation of God's word to make what is settled in heaven to be settled in your life. Do you understand now? So as we engage, don't carry that mindset of someone wrestling with a spirit. I blow you one, you blow me, let's see who wins. No, it's victory established. Our assignment is to enforce it in our lives. Who understands this? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree, by the blood, every spirit, every covenant, every programming of darkness against my life, my family, I declare, let it be blotted out now. Open your mouth and pray. Every demonic installation, every programming of darkness, come on now, are you praying against your children? Your spouse, Shabaka Pakata Pentecata. Resist the devil and he will flee. Don't assume he will flee. Over your ministry, resist the devil. Over your health, over your life. At your men of prayer in Karaba, Shabaka Toka Pentecata, Ebrakatataka Parakatakatos. Resist the devil. The Lord rebuke you over my finances, over my health. Every tree that's not planted by my Father here at Peniel 2026, my days will be different. Victory in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, Father, I declare by the power of the Holy Ghost, every tree that has not been planted by my Father in my life, in my ministry, in my family, I declare be uprooted now. Open your mouth and pray. Be uprooted. Be uprooted. Be uprooted. I am the planting of the Lord, that you be glorified in my life. Be uprooted. Trees of bitterness, be uprooted. Trees of diseases and infirmities, be uprooted. Trees of untimely death, be uprooted. Trees of failure, perpetual failure, be uprooted. Lift your voice and pray. At the back, are you praying? Shabaka barakaka praskata. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, Father, I declare by the power of the Spirit, every chain limiting me, tying my hands, tying my feet, I declare be broken. I am loose. Lift your voice and pray. Every chain. Every chain tying you down. Chains be broken over ministries, be broken over destinies, be broken. Help them, please. Be broken, be broken. Chains be broken. Chains be broken. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, Father, I declare every door that should be open in this season and is still closed, I declare over that door, open now. Open your mouth and pray. Every door that should be open, doors of ministry, doors of the next level, be open, be open. Ephata, be open, be open. Close doors open. Close doors open. Please be serious. Make sure you pray. Close doors open. Over my life. Doors open. 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 In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. The Bible says Jesus looks at Lazarus and he said, Lazarus, come forth. He said, he that was dead came out, but there was a problem. He was alive, but the clothes he was wearing was for dead men. And he said, he's been alive is not enough. Loosing. Loose that cloth. You can be alive, yet you are wearing the garment of the dead. Are we together? He said, lose him and let him go. Lose him and let him go. Lose him and let him go. We're about to pray that everything that has been tied in the name of Jesus, not just you, everything that has been tied. There was a time the donkey was tied, but when the master had need of it, he said, go to the land whose streets divide. You will find a colt that had been tied. Lose it, and if anybody asks you why you are losing it, say the master has need of it. There are things that need to be loosed in this season. I'd like you to decree and declare. Say, Father, everything tied down that needs to be loose for my destiny, I declare it loose now. Open your mouth and pray. Loose. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, Father, in this season of dominion, I decree and I declare that I go forward. I make progress. I go forward. I make progress. Now, open your mouth and pray. I go forward. It was the Lord that caused Moses and Aaron to advance. Someone declare, you are going forward. No stagnation, no delay, no stagnancy. Forward ever, forward ever. Ministry, forward ever. Business, forward ever. Your children, forward ever. Your prayer group, forward ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Now we are going to call for, just help those under the anointing. We are going to call forth every man ordained by God to hold your hands and see to it that you rise to the next level. Let me tell you this. Hear me. Destiny helpers don't come because you need them. You call them by prophecy. Hallelujah. When Jesus was born, there was a star that signified that he had been born. That was the star that directed the Magi that had gifts of gold, of frankincense and myrrh. And they did not stop till they found where he was. Are we together? It's your responsibility to call for the men ordained by God to stand with you, stand by you in prayer, providing the necessary support. Can I lead you to pray that prayer? Say, Father, I decree over the north, the south, the east, and the west, everyone ordained by God to be a helper to my life, I command that they appear now. Lift your voice and pray. Ordained to be a helper. Ordained to help make the gate open for you. Ordained to help speak to Pharaoh for you. Everyone ordained by God, please pray. No one rises in isolation. There are men and women ordained by God to stand with you, to stand for you, to speak for you, to defend you at the gates. Declare that they arise. Declare that they arise. Declare that they arise. In Jesus' name we pray. We're almost done. Don't be tired of prayer. Say, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, I decree and I declare that I am free from everything connecting me to ancestry, everything connecting me to demonic patterns,
from today, I declare I am free forever. Open your mouth and pray. Every yoke, every enchantment, every territorial limitation connecting you, creating patterns like father, like son, like mother, like daughter, by the blood of the eternal covenant, it ends with me. It ends with me. It ends with me. Untimely death ends with me. Poverty ends with me. Failure ends with me. Going up and coming down ends with me. In Jesus' name we pray. Shortly before we intercede for the land. Now, listen to me, please, everybody. You are going to lift your voice and pray. Everything you have seen in your life that does not look like the word of God, you will fight it by faith right now. Don't keep quiet. You saw people die before they got to 50. Don't keep quiet and say, my case will be... No, you make your case different. You don't just say, you make your case different. The Bible says, present your cause, saith the Lord. It said, bring forth your strong reasons. No, I will not die before my time. No. Parents, it's your time to pray. I won't bury my child. No, not before my time. The fullness of my days. The Bible says, they that be planted in the house of God, that they will flourish in the courts of our God, that in old age they will still be fat. Old age is not a curse. It has never been a curse. My body will not deplete as I age. I will be in the order of Caleb, that my physical strength will not be abated. Is someone learning now? We are going to pray. I don't know what you have seen in your family or in your life that is not of God. I give you the next 1 minute. Engage by the blood and declare that it falls off my life. It ends with me now. Some of us are pastors. We love the Lord, but from our background, nothing grows. Nothing grows. I'd like you to engage right now. Please open your mouth and pray. Engage by faith. I'm a child of God. Victorious by the blood. Victorious by the blood. Untimely death. I come against you. Someone is praying. Failure in ministry. I come against you. Prayerlessness. I come against you. Spiritual laxity and slumber. I come against you. Powerlessness. Come against you. Disfavor. Come against you. Spirit of fear. Come against you. A prophetic word for someone. I don't know who that is, but God is saying, I should tell you, it's your turn. It's your turn. I don't know what that means, but God is saying, I should tell you, it's your turn. Now, it's your assignment to war a good warfare with that word. When God says it's your turn, that's what he desires. But you have to engage and say, Lord, I believe it, and I engage by faith. But it's my assignment to speak it to you, that in the name of Jesus, it's your turn. Luke chapter 1 and verse 80, the Bible says, and the man John remained in the wilderness until his season of showing forth. There is a season of showing forth. And when that season comes, the devil will try to fight you. It's your assignment to say, no, it's my season. It's my season of showing forth. Hallelujah. Can we pray over Taraba? Please look up. How many of you know that you can be saved as a person? You can be righteous as a person. But if your environment is not a righteous place, you are still in trouble. Lot was a righteous man, but Sodom and Gomorrah was not a righteous place. He lost his wife. He almost lost his daughters. It is wonderful to be a righteous man, but it is best for your territory to be a righteous territory. Are we together? There was a land in the Bible called Nineveh, and for the sake of that land, God called a prophet. He was a righteous man, but he did not pay attention to the salvation of the territory. And because of that, he almost got eaten by a whale. And God said, no, I'm also interested in the salvation of territories. You are fine with me, Jonah, but you can become my enemy if you neglect the salvation of a territory. Stand up and go to that great city and speak to it. It's not enough to say you are a righteous person. Your children will be victims of territorial unrighteousness. Lot had responsible daughters, but those Sodomites were about to destroy the daughters because of the extent of carnality in their mind. So don't say I'm fine. If there are still armed robbers in Taraba, one day your children may be the victim. God forbid, I'm not saying so. But I'm just saying that if you don't deal with it, don't wait till it gets to the door of your house. When God lifted Esther, she almost made the mistake of Vashti. She forgot why she got to the palace. And Mordecai warned her and said, don't forget why you are there. You have the access to the king to speak and advocate for the Jews. And if you don't, God will raise salvation from some other place. But you would have lost the purpose for which you are there. And the Bible says she fasted, she prayed, not for herself. It was for the salvation of the Jews. Let me tell you this. You can be saved. S-A-V-D-E-D. And yet your territory can be unsafe. S-A-F-E. And you are still in trouble. I've seen good people who were shot dead by wicked people. They were good people from church because of a depraved environment. Please, I'd like us to intercede. Listen. There are a number of things that we have to be honest about and pray. Allow my bias for the north and the northeast. We are going to pray. That spirit that does not allow people rise beyond a certain level. If you are from the north, you can't say you don't know what I'm saying. This is not a Taraba issue now. There is a force that fights men. The Bible says, son of man, what seest thou? He said, I saw four horns. These are the horns that have lifted up themselves against Jerusalem, against Judah. Are we together now? So that no man doth lift up his head. Very educated people, but they cannot rise anywhere. Certificates become like pieces of paper. There are territorial spirits, my brother. And if you don't know how to engage, you will be surprised that a man in his lifetime will be rich and still be poor in one lifetime. You go up, and in the presence of all who knew you, you still go down. And you are not necessarily old. What kind of spirit is that? Hallelujah. There. Do you know the reason why there was a group of people who were the enemies of God's people in the Bible? The way they died is a strategy Satan is still using today. The Bible says brothers started killing brothers. It's in your Bible. And the last one helped to kill the other. It's a strategy that when Satan saw, he found it useful. And he's still using it today. It is amazing that those who make for the downfall of many are not strangers. There are people within the system. We have to pray. Something is wrong. There are many people, I believe, of your state origin here that have ideas that may not be respected. But let somebody with all due respect come from somewhere with a far less idea. Everybody runs around them. There is a spirit that makes us to belittle and downplay ourselves to a point. Are we together now? Another thing we must fight is the spirit of lateness. It's as if there is a spirit that fights achieving things early. Are we together? We need to pray. When I saw this from my background, I saw this from, you know, my territory, I told myself it ends with me. I prayed a prayer to God and I said, every battle I will transfer to my children, Lord, let me fight it and finish it. Let them fight their own battles, not my battles. Is somebody learning now? Don't transfer any battle to your children. There are many people who cannot be established today. At 40, they are still solving their parents' problems before they now start their own life. And I'm not saying the parents are evil. It's a spirit. Go to China, you find people at 13, 14, they own companies. But in Nigeria, and especially around the north, a man can be 45, he still believes he's a child. And don't say, Hakana la Sharia, because that's not the will of God. Are we together? Please, I want you to join me, pray that prayer, and let's use Taraba and say, Father, all the bright minds that are hiding, that the covering cast that is upon this territory, stopping the apostolic voices, stopping the prophetic voices, stopping the academic voices, stopping ministerial voices, political voices from rising and shining, we come against that covering cast. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. The spirit of lateness, the spirit of mediocrity, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Someone lift your voice and pray. It's time for sons and daughters to arise. It's time for a Taraba to arise, that the glory of God will be seen in you. It's time for men and women of fire to arise. Global minds, global voices, global minds, global voices, global minds, global voices, in ministry, in technology, in business, global minds to arise. Lift your voice and pray. The spirit of violence, we bind you and we cast you. The spirit of hatred that fights brotherhood, we bind you and we cast you. In Jesus' name we pray. Listen, my dear people, look at me. Let me tell you this. Don't wait for anybody to come and change your state. It's your responsibility. Hallelujah. I believe that there are enough apostolic, by apostolic I don't mean the title, I mean the office, there are enough voices to raise a mighty army in Taraba. There are enough entrepreneurs, some of them a covering cast is on them, global minds, and yet covered after the order of Gideon, a warrior but in hiding. There are many young people right now. Some of those people, if given the opportunity, you will be surprised what they can do. And don't downplay it. Again, we are going to pray. We'll speak over the spiritual climate of Taraba and say, in the name of Jesus, lift up your heads. Gates and climates that are not of God, we declare that we roll you away. Let revival come to Taraba. We roll you away. Let breakthrough come to Taraba. We roll those clouds away. Do you love Taraba enough to pray? Do you love Taraba enough to pray? Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Pray for every church represented in Taraba. Use the Anglican Communion as a point of contact. Let every church be on fire. On fire. Teachers on fire. The prophetic on fire. Intercessors on fire. Raising a robust army of apostolic Christians. Pray for those with the mandate for politics and governance, that God will raise them. God will raise them. Mighty men. Jesus' name we pray. Let me give you the last prayer point, and then we'll be done for this morning. We are going to pray for the church in Taraba. The church in Taraba talks about an aggregate of everybody who truly loves Jesus and serves the purposes of God. Now, let me tell you why we are praying for the church. Every time society goes into decadence, go and read your Bible. God solves the problem by coming to the church. Every time the land is in trouble, he says, if my people, the discussion is not society, it's my people. Something is wrong with my people. That's why something is wrong with society. So if I correct what is wrong with my people, are we together now? He said, thou art my battle axe, you are my weapon of war. God seldom blames people who are outside of the church. My people, called by my name, that they humble themselves, they pray, they seek my face, they turn from their wicked ways. For their sake, I will hear from heaven, but I will heal the land. Are we together? We need to pray. Listen, let me tell you, hold on please. Let me tell you why it is important to pray for the church. Your Lordship, Africa and Nigeria is about the most religious place I know around the world in terms of loyalty to faith and honor to men and women of God. The meaning of that is that the content of our messages on the pulpit is what is programming disaster in society or programming victory. Praise the name of the Lord. It's an uncomfortable truth. You imagine a congregation of people like this. Imagine all that they have learned in this conference. You see that? Now imagine that we stand here and for days we mislead this crowd of people. It may not look disastrous until they go out and begin to execute the error that we have taught them. Most of the error in society was programmed in church. Programmed in church. The correction must start from the pulpit. The quality, the kind of truths that are communicated is what builds people. There is a way you can train people and they become irresponsible. There is a way you can train people and they become over-intellectualized and they don't see the value of the help and the grace of God. There is a way you can train people. They become licentious in their approach to life. There is a way you can train people. They become consecrated but irrelevant as far as matters of society is concerned. All of that balance or imbalance comes from the pulpit. It's the reason why we must pray for the church. And pray for the men and the women of God, that God will raise people and grant them a well-rounded understanding on how to truly raise believers that are wholesome, consecrated, transformed, anointed, responsible, nation builders, lovers of God and church and state. These are the kinds of people that need to be raised. It is very easy to change a territory. You first change the people that change the systems. Territorial transformation only answers to two things: systemic changes and then a reformation as far as the citizenry are concerned. Are we together now? It's not very easy to change the system, unfortunately, because these systems are guided by policies, but you can start by changing the individuals. And when those individuals are changed enough, their convictions will force the policies to be revisited. Is someone learning now? The church should be a place of wisdom. People should not share the grace and live more foolish than they were when they came. Please don't mind my being aggressive. People should be wise. A CEO should come and sit down for 2-3 hours, and by the time he's sharing the grace, all his employees are happy because he's a more refined man who is going back. Is someone learning now? So let me encourage co-laborers in the ministry. We must trust God for grace to see the enormous responsibility God has given us in terms of raising men, and to give the best that we are able to see that men are well-rounded, prayerful, consecrated, doctrinally sound, transformed, responsible. You see that now? Nation builders, influential, with a heart for God. No society goes down in the presence of such people. And it is possible. And I'm praying that from Peniel 2026, that God will begin to raise people, that it will not matter so much again from a transformative standpoint which church or which church you don't attend. At least we know there is a barest minimum standard that once you sit in any church in Taraba, the members are safe. They are safe. Is somebody learning? Can we pray that prayer and then we wrap up for this morning? We pray for the church in Taraba. Please lift your voice and pray. Mention any man of God's name you know. Mention any bishop's name you know. Around the northeast, use Bishop Foreman Nedison and his dear wife. Use the Anglican Communion as a case study. Pray for every man of God. Pray for the spiritual voices who serve. Mention the ministries you know here. Let there be the spirit of love and brotherhood. Let the altar be a place of wisdom. Let it be a place of learning. Let it be a place of discipline. Let it be a place of growth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. So let me encourage us. In a few hours, we'll be converging again for the final session. We'll have that time to minister. I'll give you the two other keys that are left in my teaching. And hopefully we'll have the time to pray some more, intercede some more. Please do the work of an evangelist. I was very humbled when I saw that, you know, there are so many people, but there are still others you know should be here. What you are hearing now, you know, is not just for yourself. Extend that invite. Perhaps it's to a man of God. Perhaps it's to someone in government. And together, let's celebrate the glory of God. And let's see the wonders that God will be doing. I'll be praying for the sick tonight. And we'll be ministering deliverance, speaking over your life, speaking over the city again. For now, would you lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless you. I decree and declare for everything you have prayed, everything you have asked the Lord, you will see it happen speedily in your life. In the name of Jesus. Everything you are prohibited from manifesting in your life, it remains prohibited forever. May the Lord bless you. And to every prayer life that has gone down by this morning prayer, I declare it jacks back to life. Every word study life that is dwindling, I declare fresh passion for the word. May the Lord bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Give Jesus a big hand clap.